Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Good morning, Matt Sue. It is always a wonderful opportunity to share God's holy word with you. I'm thankful for this blessing, and it is my prayer that you would take the things we discussed this morning and search out the Scriptures to see that it is not my words, but the Word of God. I will be using the New King James Version unless otherwise mentioned. This morning's radio lesson will be on a key and essential question. That is, how does someone become a Christian? Let me ask you, do you think that Jesus thought this would be such a confusing question? Do you think that Jesus, while here teaching on earth, ever wondered if people would know absolutely how to become a follower of His? Friends, it would be silly to think that our Lord and Savior went to the cross with this mindset. Let me also ask you, have you ever considered yourself satisfied with your relationship with God? If you have, please consider these scriptures and ask yourself, could this be me? In Proverbs 16, in verse 25, we read, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Or listen carefully to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" These scriptures must cause all of us to pause and consider our position before God. Will you be willing to hear the truth from the scriptures and humble enough to change your views into what God would have you believe and not allow your own thoughts to deceive you when it comes to these eternal matters? You know, Matt Sue, there was a young ruler who asked a significant question. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, we read, "Now as he was going out on the road, he being Jesus, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" I want you to think about that. Would you ask Jesus that same question? And how would you handle Jesus' response? You know, I can visualize how sometimes my children will ask a question they think they already know the answer to, and the look on their face when I tell them something different. You know, I wonder if this young man had that look. If you read all of this event, you see this young man probably thought he was something special, that he was ready to receive his praise and go about his business. Yet Jesus, being the master teacher, gave him not what he wanted, but exactly what he needed. So consider Jesus' response to this young man's question of, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" In Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.'" Matt Sue, can I teach a little bit this morning? Now, please listen carefully. I realize that the man that Jesus was talking to was not a child. But this side point I would like to make this morning on the radio program is we need to stop spoiling our children. Friends, these are our children, and we need to raise them up to have respect for authority, respect for teachers, for police officers, and for other adults. Friends, this world does not revolve around our children, and we are failing them to think this way. Children are just that. That is, children. We need to love them, protect them, and discipline them. Give them the guidance to become productive members of society, of this community, and not irrational and spoiled children. But Matsu, this only comes from teaching the biblical principles. Jesus doesn't tell this young man, you know, just do whatever you want. You deserve it. Be however you want to be. He told him the truth. We need to teach our children the truth, teaching them to love God, love their neighbors, and love themselves, and specifically in that order. So thank you for allowing me the time to talk to your heart this morning, because I find it important as this world continues its departure from the Bible that we as parents still have time to train our children up in the way of the Lord. Okay, now back to what Jesus told this young ruler. One thing you lack. What was he lacking? Well, do you remember his original question? The young ruler asks, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" That was his question. So Jesus told him what he needed to do. And our Savior tells us today what we may be lacking in order to have eternal life. So first, we must understand that we are to hear the word of God. You see, this is not something that is done one time, but is a continuous act. You know, when we distance ourselves from the word of God, our mind becomes easily entangled in worldly affairs. We hear the word of God by opening the word of God. And hearing is a crucial first step in becoming a Christian. It is not the point at which you become a Christian, but it is the first step of becoming one. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17, we read, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You see, for many people today, they will say that God told them something separate and apart from the Bible in order to be saved. Now, this is a bold claim since we are able to read from the mind of God. And God tells us exactly what we need to do in order to receive salvation. And if that part has already been revealed, what else would we need to hear? Remember, we're not talking about a trivial means or an arbitrary book of commands or a guessing game, but we're talking about the word of God. Consider what Jude wrote. In Jude, verses 3 through 4, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, common salvation, it was clearly evident. The faith, it's singular. Once for all delivered, no more revelation needed. Why? Because certain individuals will try to persuade you towards something that is foreign to God, meaning he has not asked for it, nor has he desired it. How do we know he has not asked for it? Because it is not found in his word. So second, we must believe. Many across the religious spectrum take this position. But how did they come to this idea? Did they make it up themselves? Well, no. It's because it is found in the word of God. God commands that we believe. The issue, though, is that in society today, like many things that pertain to God, the true biblical meaning of belief has been watered down to conform to society instead of having the Word of God water us so that we may be transformed into His people. Belief is sadly abused to mean nothing more than a mere mental acceptance without any personal response. But I ask you a simple question. Do you believe in Jesus? Or do you believe Jesus? You know, that is the thought which separates the individual who is striving to become a Christian from the one who is just satisfied with their traditions or what their religious leaders have told them. But listen carefully to this verse, and I will be using the King James Version because it makes the point clear. In John chapter 3, in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Anytime you see a TH at the end of the word in the King James Version, it means a continuous act. You cannot be pleasing to God without continuously believing. Listen to John chapter 5 and verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Hearing the word of God. And do you realize that we hear the word of God today through the Bible? And we are blessed to be able to do that and pick up his word and read and understand what he wants from us. And there is so much evidence that not only can we read it, but we can believe in the things that are written. John chapter 20, 30 through 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. You see, friends, this is not my idea of what brings someone into Christ or how one can become a Christian, but it is the clear, plain teachings from the Word of God. But for some reason, friends, many people stop there, hear and believe. They stop at belief, but I find that very confusing to think that if belief alone was acceptable, then repentance would be unnecessary. It would be optional. But is that what the Bible teaches? And if you believe repentance to be optional, are you consistent with that idea when it comes to your everyday life? Well, first let us define what repentance means. According to the Strong's Concordance, the word repent means to think differently. But we must ask ourselves, what does that look like? Friends, there is no better way to understand what Bible words mean than by opening our Bibles. In Joel, the second chapter, we see a call to returning to the Lord. In Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, we read, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." We can clearly see that God doesn't want a show. Nor does he ask for a small portion, but demands for us to turn to him with all of our hearts. This turning of one's heart is consistent with one's own actions. If you turn from the world and turn towards God, there must be a change in our attitude, which is our mindset, that then therefore leads to a change in our behaviors, which is actions. Think about this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 reads, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." We can easily understand that one who is willing to hear the word, believe in the word, and repents from a sinful lifestyle, actions will soon follow. You will live by the things of the Spirit. Remember earlier I asked the question that if you believe repentance to be optional, would you be consistent with that idea in your everyday life? Well, let me ask you, how would you respond to someone who you considered to be a close friend or maybe even a family member who stole from you? And then they would apologize, but the very next day would steal again and continued stealing from you. What would your course of action be? Well, clearly you would separate yourself from that type of person. Why? Because you became tired of the lip service without the follow through. Friends, when all we do is ask God to forgive us without changing our minds, that is exactly what we are doing. We are giving God lip service. So now here comes another concept that many in the religious world believe in, yet apply it inaccurately. You might ask, how do I know this? Well, let's go to a verse that many in the religious world are familiar with. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 10, we read, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." This idea of confession is crucial to our salvation, but again, it is not the point at which one becomes a Christian. Many in the religious world will read this and say, "See, it says when you confess, you are saved. My public confession has been made." Well, wait a minute. I thought all you had to do was believe in order to be saved. So now it is said belief and confession is necessary. Well, how do you know what to believe? And how do you know what to confess unless you've heard? And how does one confess that Jesus is the Son of the living God without recognizing the relationship has been severed and changing their mind through repentance to live a life for God? You see, Matsu, if we would read our Bibles a little more carefully and be consistent, we can easily see that God's plan of salvation is simple and without contradiction. The question is, how do you become a Christian? Confession is certainly a part of God's plan of salvation, but is it the only part? Meaning that confession alone is the means of salvation? Of course not, because you would agree that belief is necessary. Repentance? Hearing? Of course, all of those are a part of God's plan. But the question still begs, at what point do you become a Christian? So let's consider this verse as we move into the final part of becoming a Christian. In Acts, the second chapter in verse 21, we read, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here we have Peter preaching and brings forth an Old Testament passage out of Joel, the second chapter. Now, how many today would think, okay, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There it is. Again, plain and simple. Yes, I agree. It is plain and simple. But that is not where the sermon ends, nor is it the point at which those who were listening thought, well, that is good enough for me, because let's look a little bit further into the chapter in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 36, we read Peter still preaching, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, these are the same people who were listening earlier. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Think about that question. What shall we do? And recall the rich young ruler. He asked what he should do. These individuals asked what they should do, friends. Are you willing to ask what you need to do in order to be saved, in order to be a Christian? Peter responded, "Be baptized in the name," that is, by the authority of Jesus, "for the remission of sins." Friends, do you want the cleansing blood applied? Then you have to go where that is. Listen to what Paul said in Acts 22 and verse 16. "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You want the blood applied? Well, you have to go where it is, and that is the watery grave of baptism, to be fully immersed. So I close this morning's radio program with this scripture so that you know that it is not something that I came up with, or with some other man, or some idea. But it is what the Word of God says. In Colossians, the second chapter, in verse 12, from the King James Version, we read, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." You see, it is not man who saves you. It is not you who came up with the plan of salvation. Christ died for you, and it is God's plan of salvation, and he is ready to operate on the sin-sick soul. And understand, what you do with Christ, that is baptism, is what puts you in Christ. And that is God's plan on how you become a Christian. Will you respond in faith? Matsu, as always, it is a very special privilege to bring a portion of God's word to you. If you have any questions about this morning's radio program, please do not hesitate to call and ask. My name is Joe Murdoch, and my phone number is 907-715-0089. Friends, again, we ask you, do you know how to become a Christian? Well, you can find out by opening your Bibles and reading How God Tells You to Become a Christian.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.